I want to consider with you Psalms 136. Today we will look at verses 1 through verse 20. And then on another occasion we will complete the chapter. This, of course, is a song of thanksgiving. When we think about God and think about all the wonderful blessings that He has bestowed upon us and all of the wonderful works that He has done for us, truly we ought to be thankful. And we are taught that we are to express that thanksgiving. This is what the psalmist has done in this particular psalm. He says at verses 1 through 3, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. And then in the closing verse, verse 26, he says again, O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. As the writer begins this psalm, he exhorts us, which means that he urges us to give thanks. We are to give thanks unto the Lord. The reason is, He is good. We are to give thanks unto the God of gods. And we are to give thanks unto the Lord of lords. And he identifies that one unto whom we are to give thanks again in the final verse as the God of heaven. You will notice in all of these verses, verse 1 through verse 26, the writer says, For His mercy endureth forever. He repeats that phrase throughout the psalm so that we might know that God is a merciful God. And that mercy continues. The mercy of God never fades, nor does the mercy of God ever cease. But God continues to be merciful unto those upon whom He bestows His mercy. And for that reason, the psalmist says, Give thanks unto the Lord and give thanks unto God. And as you read through these verses, you will notice that there are items that are mentioned for which thanks is given. I want us to notice those. He says in verses 4 through 9, To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. The first item which causes the psalmist to praise God and for which he gives thanks is the creation of God. The writer is thankful for God's creation. He is thankful that the heavens, the earth, the waters, the lights, the sun, the moon has been created by God. He acknowledges that God is the Creator. He declares that all that we behold in this universe, which we can see and behold with our sense of sight, has come into existence by the creative power of God. There are those that claim that the earth has evolved, that man has evolved, and that over eons of time, change has so occurred that we now have what we have. But the Bible affirms that all of this was created, that it was brought forth from nothing. The Bible opens, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," Genesis 1 and verse 1. And then we have an account of those 6 days of creation in which God performed what the psalmist calls in verse 4, great wonders. Truly, as we look at the earth and the heavens and all that is therein, we must acknowledge that this is a great wonder. To know that at one point in time there was absolutely nothing. And then as God speaks throughout the opening chapter of Genesis, that powerful phrase, "And God said, and it was so." And the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all life has come forth because God has spoken. By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed so that things which do appear were made from things which are not seen, Hebrews 11 and verse 3. The Bible affirms that the earth and the heavens and mankind has been created. Can we prove that beyond any shadow of a doubt? No. It is through the leap of faith, a heart that believes that there was a power behind the universe, and we believe that that power is God. In Acts chapter 14, the Apostle Paul comes into an area where idolatry is very prominent. And as he speaks to these particular people in verse 15, he urges them to turn from their vanities or their idols unto the one who made heaven and earth and the seas and all that therein is. Everything that now exists has come from the creative power of God. Even if the mind of man disavows that, even if the mind of man refuses to accept that, does not lessen the evidence of faith that God has created, that God has formed, that God has made. And it is the creation to which the psalmist gives thanks in this powerful psalm. When Paul went to Athens, and Athens was a great city of learning, as is recorded in Acts chapter 17. There were philosophers in the city of Athens. There were those who studied and learned, and they made that a primary purpose of life, to study and to learn and to know. And they were going to give Paul an opportunity to speak so that they might know what he would have to say and to see if there was some learning that they had not yet heard and what they could attain as far as information was concerned from this man. And in verse 24, Paul said, God that made the world and all that is therein. And then in verse 26, he said, of one blood hath he made all the nations of men. Paul's sermon at Athens was that God had created. God has made. We believe through faith, just as the psalmist did centuries ago, that the heavens and the earth and the seas and the lights that we behold, the stars and the moon and the sun, are the great wonders of God. But then at verses 10 through 15, the psalmist again gives thanks to God. He said to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. The psalmist gives thanks for God's deliverance. God is a God who creates. God is a God who delivers. The Israelites were in captivity in Egypt. They cried unto God for deliverance. Their prayers continually went before God. He heard their cries. He heard their moanings. He listened to their desire to be free from their captives. And finally, he sends Moses. Moses beseeches Pharaoh to let Israel go. But Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then the plagues began to come. And that after that final plague, where the firstborn of every household was taken by the messenger of death as he passed through the camp, Pharaoh consented to let Israel go. But after they had packed their belongings, gathered those things that God instructed them to gather, and began to make their journey from Egypt, Pharaoh changed his mind. They came to the Red Sea. They looked upon that vast expanse of water. They could see the rising dust of the Egyptian chariots in the rear, and they wondered how they were going to be delivered. And then you recall that God instructed Moses to raise his arm. And as he did so, the waters parted into two great walls. The land was dry. The arms of Moses had to be held up so that they, in their weakness, did not collapse, and hence the waters collapse. And finally, the Israelites had passed over on dry land. The Egyptians entered into that sea, and Moses dropped his arms, and those waters collapsed, and the Egyptians were drowned, and the Israelites were delivered. The deliverance of Israel from Egyptian captivity was a great wonder. It was almost as great a wonder as the creation of the earth. God delivered His people in a tremendously powerful fashion. God delivers. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, Paul speaks concerning the church and says concerning Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The church is a delivered kingdom. The nation of Israel was a delivered nation. They became a great nation because God delivered them. Likewise, the church of Jesus Christ is a delivered kingdom. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, from the power of Satan, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. God has delivered us from that great darkness. In a passage in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10, Paul speaks to the Thessalonians. He said they are to wait for the coming of Jesus, which hath delivered us from the wrath to come. In delivering us from the power of darkness, we have been delivered from the wrath of God. God exhibited His wrath upon the nation of Egypt, because Pharaoh would not allow God's people to go free. God stretched forth His arm. It was a mighty arm. It was a powerful display. And the people were freed. And so it is with a powerful display at Calvary, where God expressed His deep, unfailing love for man. God has delivered us from the wrath to come. We were under wrath because of sin, because of our alienation from God. But God has delivered us. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, the apostle speaks of God delivering just Lot. You recall that Lot and Abraham had separated themselves, and Lot had made that choice to go to the well-watered plains where he could have the resources to raise his cattle. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He eventually found himself in Sodom. We must be extra careful of the decisions we make. We must look not only at what might appear to be best at the present moment, but we must also consider what might be down the road, what consequences might come from those decisions that we make. And so here was Lot, finding himself in Sodom, vexed, Peter says, with the filthy conversation of the wicked. There was his wife, his daughters, his son-in-laws. But the book of Genesis, chapter 13, chapter 18, declare that the sin of Sodom was exceedingly great, and the wickedness of this city was noticed by God. And finally, God made the decision that He was going to destroy Sodom. But He delivered just Lot. Because Lot was a just man, even though he had made a wrong decision, God was going to deliver him. Even sometimes when we make wrong decisions in our life, there is God to deliver us and to help us. And so He did with Lot. In Romans 8 and verse 21, the Scripture says that the creature shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our deliverance from the power of darkness, our deliverance from the wrath to come, our deliverance from bad decisions will ultimately lead to our deliverance from this bondage of corruption. One day we will be taken from this old, decaying, corruptible body and delivered into that perfected state The psalmist thanks God for his deliverance. And then in verses 16 through 20, to him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. The psalmist is thankful for God's leadership. After God had delivered his people from the bondage of Egypt, had seen that they were safely through the Red Sea, he then led them through the wilderness. And in that leadership, they met enemies, and each of those enemies was smitten by God. Great kings stood against the people of God. Mighty, powerful people. But God led his people in every instance to victory. God leads us today. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, "My people hear my voice and they follow me." Jesus has described himself as the Good Shepherd. The responsibility and work of a shepherd was to lead the flock to green pastures, to pastures that were well watered, where those sheep could receive the proper nourishment and care. It was also the responsibility of the shepherd to protect them from enemies. You remember on occasion David made mention of having been delivered from the mouth of the lion and from the paw of the bear. God had delivered David on occasions as he watched over the flock, as he nurtured and cared for the flock. And so in John 10, Jesus presents himself as this shepherd who leads his people to places where they can receive the proper nourishment. Jesus is the leader of his people. And as we listen to his voice, as we hear him speak, we follow him. You recall in the 23rd Psalm, David had written in verse 2, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." In verse 3, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." God leads his people. He leads us beside the still waters. He leads us where we can be comforted and where we can find joy and peace. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us so that we can become righteous. As we listen to Jesus, as we hear his word and allow that word to become planted in our heart, we are led by that word and directed in the paths of righteousness. In the book of Revelation, at chapter 7 and verse 17, the psalmist said, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." As we look at that particular passage of Scripture, we see that God is going to lead his persecuted church to an abundant life. And as he leads them to this abundant life, where now they are persecuted, where now their lives are in distress, eventually all tears shall be dried from their eyes. God will lead us eventually to a place where there are fountains of living waters, and where eventually all tears will be dried from our eyes. In the 136th Psalm, as the psalmist acknowledges that that the mercy of God endures forever, he beseeches us, give thanks unto God. Thank God for His creation. God is the Creator. Give thanks unto God for His deliverance. God delivers. And give thanks unto God for His leadership. God leads. He has not left us alone in this world, but rather He is present with us each hour of each day so that we might be led through this old world. Give thanks unto God. As you examine this psalm, you will notice that there are other items for which the psalmist give thanks unto God because His mercy endures forever. And at some future point in time, we will examine those other items. But for now, let us give thanks unto God. Let us acknowledge Him as the Creator. Let us thank Him for His deliverance and for His leadership. And let us ever be thankful because we are always mindful that His mercy endures forever. He has bestowed upon us acts of mercy for which we should always be grateful. If there be a need for anyone here to accept the invitation of Jesus and respond, then we urge you to do so as we stand and sing this hymn.